We're talking about spiritual disciplines or spiritual boot camp. Jared and I were talking about this on the way down. Excuse me. Among some people, some groups maybe. Let me try it again. It's not coming on. I'm just trying to get the... I'm having technical issues here. When in doubt, take the batteries out. Oh, okay. When in doubt, take the batteries out. There we go. Okay. Jared and I were talking about this on the way down. Some groups or religious people or whatever, as far as a Christian, we're talking to Christians this morning, as far as being spiritual, it all comes down to some groups to just praying and believing. That's it. Like, it's not that you have to do anything, but that you just pray and you trust, and that's it, and that'll make you a better Christian. I, in this series of Sunday school lessons, and the Bible don't seem to support that. There's some people would say, well, you don't have to do anything to get saved. Therefore, when you get saved, you don't have to do anything to be holy unto the Lord and live sin-free or as sin-free as you can and be closer and your closer walk with God. Just like salvation's free, that's free. You don't have to do anything. And my response is, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we have to be doing, right? We have to be always doing. Because like I said before, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. There's no standing still in the Christian life. There's no staying in neutral. I've done that to myself. Maybe you've done that to yourself. You think, you know what? I've done okay this week. I've stayed neutral. By the way, I don't want to see hands. I don't want to hear anybody talking out to me. I'll just ask you this question. You can answer it in your head. Sorry about my allergies. How was your week this week? And what I mean by that is, how was your walk with the Lord? How was your study time with God? How was your study time with the Bible? How was your prayer this week? How was your meditating on scriptures? How did that go this week? I'm not asking for you to answer out loud. I'm asking for answering your head. We should be doing that all the time. We should take inventory. And there's a certain amount of doing. It takes discipline to get anywhere in this world. It takes discipline to get anywhere in the Christian life. It's not just pray and trust God. You have to actually be busy about the Father's business doing these things, right? If you want to live holy unto the Lord, then there's things that you have to do that help you. Now, can you do it without the Holy Spirit? Of course not. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us that helps us and guides us and that teaches us all truth through His Word. And so we have that already. But it's not just relying on the Holy Spirit and sit back and... It's not, I've said this a million times, guys. It's not sit back and, okay, zap, you're saved. It's not that way when you become a Christian either. Sit back and zap, you're holy. Or I feel sanctified. There was a song that I used to listen to by the Commodores called I Feel Sanctified. And I'm like, oh, that sounds spiritual. That's kind of cool. Well, I don't know. I don't want to go on feelings, do you? Right, necessarily, right? Because some people say, I feel like a boy when I was born with girl parts, or I feel like a girl when I was born. We don't base things on feelings. We base things on scripture, on God's word. That's what I wanted to do this morning. I want to talk about the discipline of scripture. All right? The idea of scripture is something that we can be disciplined about, that we have to have a disciplined mind, which will aid us to reaching our goal. And what's our goal? To be holy and unto the Lord and to glorify God. That's our goal, right? We have to constantly practice if we're to cultivate holiness. We specifically have to do that with the scriptures. This is the primary road to holiness. Excuse me again. This is the road to holiness right here. It's not being slain in the spirit, and it's not speaking in tongues. That's not the road to holiness, although some people think that's a manifestation of holiness. Some people feel like that's the way to holiness, right? I told you about the girl many years ago that I talked to once, and she's like, yeah, I wish I could speak in tongues. She was really sad she hadn't spoken in tongues yet. And as if that were somehow meant that she wasn't as holy as everybody else, and she was really hoping she could speak in tongues so she could be holy like everybody else. Look, if you're sitting here today and you're in an independent Baptist church like you are, I'll say this and I'll say it loud and proud. This is the road to holiness. This is the road to holiness. Is it done without the Holy Spirit? No, I just said that. It's done through the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't. This means nothing to you. If you're not saved this morning, you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, this book means nothing to you. You don't enjoy reading it. You don't want to read it. You don't pursue it. You don't want to study it. Sometimes you read it a little bit. Maybe when I was a kid, that's the way I would do. I would read a little bit, and then I felt good about myself, and I would put it away, right? I wasn't saved, right? The Scripture is the primary road to holiness and spiritual growth. As we read God's Word, the Holy Spirit uses that Word to teach us truths from God's Word, right? You have to have both. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, this book is meaningless to you if you're unsaved. It means nothing without the Holy Spirit illuminating and enlightening. That's why when you hear a sermon, and people often get saved by either hearing sermons or hearing somebody witness to them, it's through God's Word and through the influence of the Holy Spirit that that person realizes their need for salvation. It's not apart from either one of those. You have to have both. Turn to 1 Peter 2. I'm tired of talking. Let's go to 1 Peter 2. I think I'll be talking for the rest of the time. But anyway, you know what I meant. I'm tired of the introduction. Let's get down to it. 1 Peter 2. Excuse me. And let's look at verses 1 and 2. You know these verses. I could say that a million times through these Sunday school lessons that I'm doing, because there's things I'm talking about you've all heard before. But I think we need to be disciplined as Christians. Are you disciplined as a Christian? Are you disciplined enough to sit down and read your Bible or to have a study time or have a prayer time? We have to have that. Look at 1 Peter 2. Look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that last part right here, that ye may grow thereby. What causes us to grow? Being slain in the Spirit? I'm sorry. What causes us to grow? To be speaking in tongues? No. What causes us to grow? Saying 500 Hail Marys, does that cause us to grow spiritually? I'm not trying to dump on the Catholic Church. We can dump on Independent Baptists too. What causes you to be holy? To have a good haircut? Make sure your wife never, ever, 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 ever wears pants at all, ever, even in the house? Is that what makes you holy? Okay, I didn't know. I thought that's what made you holy. Y'all are saying no, I guess, huh? What causes us to grow? Verse 2, as newborn babes desire what? The sincere milk. Like a baby desires milk, the word is that milk that ye may grow thereby. A baby grows through his mother's milk. That's how we're to grow. The word causes us to grow. Without constantly, daily engaging in the Bible, you may be a Christian, but your growth is going to be stunted. I'll say it again. I'm quoting from myself here, and I'm going to give myself attributes here, and I'm going to give myself, copyright, and so I can get the money. So if you post this on your YouTube page or your MySpace page, make sure you give me the credit for that, and then what are you laughing at? I don't know what's funny about that. But anyway, your MySpace. Without constantly daily engaging in the Bible, you may be a Christian, but your growth will be stunted. Your growth will be stunted, right? You'll be a babe in Christ for your whole life. And that's, friends, that's not what God wants from you. So some things that we must do. So what do we have to do to have the discipline of Scripture? There's the intro. Are you ready to get down to it? Some things we must do. Oh, I'm sorry. Sitting around waiting to be zapped by the Holy Spirit is not one of them. It's not on the list. Maybe it'll make it to the list next time, but it's not this time, right? So what must we do, actually do? Number one, I know this is earth-shattering, but we must read the Scriptures. We have to have a daily, I talked about this before, you should have either a daily and or a weekly and or a yearly reading plan where you stay disciplined and stay on it. Having a reading plan helps you if you're not that disciplined of a person. Even if you are disciplined, having a reading plan that you have to follow helps you, because life gets in the way and problems get in the way and things get in the way, right? We have to be disciplined, and we have to stay on reading God's Word. We have to read through the Bible in regular cycles, as I said before. So reading the Scriptures, it's so obvious. I don't think I need to emphasize that. We all know that. How was your reading of the Scriptures this week? Think about this week. Did you spend more time watching YouTube videos or reading the Bible? Did you spend more time watching the television or reading the Bible? Did you spend more time watching football or reading the Bible? All right. And I'm not taking a shot at the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not doing that. I'm not trying to do that, brother. I'm not doing that. I want you to know. All right. Because if I do that, I may not get any smoked pork today. So no. But anyway, we need to think about these things. How much time do we spend engaging in what the world thinks is good, and how much time do we spend engaging in what God thinks is good, which is reading our Bible, right? Secondly, memorizing the scriptures, not just reading, but also memorizing the scriptures. Turn to Psalm 119. Turn to Psalm 119. We'll start in verse 1 and we'll read through it real quick. We'll read through Psalm 119 real quick. I'll tell you what, we won't read the whole thing. I'll bring it down a little bit, right? How about verse 11? Psalm 119, verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. I am at Psalm 116. I'm trying to get there, and there we are. All right. Thy word, we all know this. We should have this one memorized, right? Since we're speaking about memorization. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. To hide something in your heart here probably means a lot more than just the point I'm making to memorize. I understand that. You don't need to tell me about that. I get it. To hide something in your heart, I think, means more than just memorizing it. I memorized, excuse me. I have memorized the day that my wife and I got married, our anniversary. I have that date memorized. I think hiding something in your heart means more than just that. At the very least, it means memorizing. This is telling us to hide God's word in our heart. And one of the ways we do that is by memorizing. Now, when I read hide it in your heart, I'm thinking more than just memorize. I'm thinking memorize the scriptures, meditate on the scriptures, say the scriptures out loud, read the scriptures, all those sort of things, right? To hide God's, but certainly memorization is part of that, right? I've got a third one. We need to meditate or think upon the scriptures. Sometimes when you hear the word meditate, we get a little bit, we don't like that very much. Because if some of y'all are a little bit older, not me, but some of y'all, you remember about the meditation in the 60s where they would do the om, om, right? Y'all know that? So whenever y'all hear meditate, y'all like, I don't know if that sounds like a hippie thing. Guys, the Bible talks about that, that we're to meditate. Now, what's the word meditate mean in a biblical context? Meditate means to think about, to ruminate. Yeah, they use that word, to think about it in your mind and go through it. John Phillips, have you ever heard of John? Y'all know John Phillips, the author. He has a great passage about this in his commentary on the Psalms. He says, meditating here is not some, by the way, this is not his quote, meditating here is not some Eastern Hindu thing of chanting the om and om and all that sort of stuff to free your mind of everything, right? We're not trying to free our minds, okay? We're trying to concentrate our minds on God's word so we can know more about him and we can meditate with God through his word, right? We're not trying to free our minds of anything. That's what they do when they meditate. They're trying to free their minds, to get rid of everything in your mind so that your mind is a blank slate. Can I tell you this? Your mind is never, ever a blank slate. Ever, 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 not for one second. Because when I'm doing the om, as I do it every Thursday afternoon, when I'm doing the om and meditate, what am I always thinking of? I'm thinking of, I need to stop thinking. What am I thinking of when I'm doing the om every Thursday at 6:30? I'm thinking, oh, I need to stop thinking about my thinking that I'm thinking. Or I need to start thinking about, am I clearing my mind or not? Or is my mind clean? Oh no, my mind's not clean because I just said that in my mind. And so, okay. Can I read you John Phillips? I guess I'll read you him in a minute. There's no such thing, I already said this, as an empty or clean mind. The mind, our minds, is a battlefield. Every minute of every day, our minds is a battlefield. What are you thinking about? What are you putting in your mind? Because the first step to sin, to committing a sin, is thinking about that right up here. No one ever, like I'm walking along the road and I'm not watching where I'm going and I trip and I fall. That's just my stupidity. You know, I wasn't watching out or whatever. I didn't have to think about that before I did it, right? I just did it. But sin is not like falling down on the sidewalk because you don't see something there on the sidewalk and you trip over it, right? That's not what sin is. Sin is you thinking about it in your mind first, and then from your mind it goes to your heart, and then you act on it. That's what sin is, right? So your mind is a battlefield. Our minds are never closed. even now, whether you're listening to me or not, your mind, if you're not listening to me now, then you're thinking about something in your mind, right? The TV show you saw, the TV show you're going to see. Look, I'll use myself as an example, but let's not all try to be holy Joes up in here. You know as well as I do that you've had times when the pastor is preaching and you are thinking about something else. You know that. I'm not saying you're thinking of anything bad. Maybe you're thinking about some pork butt that's going to be on the table back there, or whatever. But we've all had those times, have we not? No, don't try to act like you haven't. You've had those times before too. I dare say that I've even had those times standing up here when I'm talking sometimes. Something else will pop in my head. So no, there's no such thing as a clean mind. Our minds are a battlefield. It can never be empty. It can never be free. One of two sides will gain control in your mind. Now, I'm going to read you the John Phillips quote that he said about biblical meditation. I thought it was good. He said, the meditation the psalmist advocates deliberately engages the conscious mind with the truths of God's word. That's the meditation, your mind engaging in God's word. I'll finish. We come into God's presence, we open the Bible in our hands, and we say, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. When you open the Bible, do you start with a word of prayer? Do you say, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to me and show me something through your word that I've not seen? Or sometimes I'll say, show me something through your word that I need for myself. Or show me, or as David said in Psalm 51, as David said that he wanted the Lord to show him. What's the passage I'm quoting? I can't remember it. I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, let me finish. I'm sorry. We read the Bible in a methodical, meaningful, meditating way, seeking to understand and appropriate its truths. We ask the following questions when reading the Bible. Is there any sin here for me to avoid? Is there any promise for me to claim? Is there any victory that I'm reading about for me to gain? Is there any blessing to enjoy? Is there any truth I've never seen before about God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, about man, about sin? What's the main thing I can learn here? That is meditation, especially keeping a notepad. Now, you don't have to do this. I like his suggestion. I don't do it. I do, kind of, but anyway. Especially keeping a notepad and pen handy and writing down what the Holy Spirit brings to your mind as we ponder God's word. Writing maketh an exact man. If we cannot verbalize it, we haven't learned it. I like that. You know you've learned something when you can explain it to someone else. If you can't explain it to them, then you don't really know it that well at all, do you? That's why teachers have always said this, and you've heard this before. If you want to find out if you really know something, try to teach it to someone else. If you can't teach it to them so that they can understand it, you probably don't know it, right? And so that's what he's saying here. If we can't verbalize it, so I like his idea. I do different things. So what I'm doing now is I am just writing. I've got a wide margin Bible. I'm writing in the margins as I go through. Right now I'm in the book of Acts. So I go through, I'm writing stuff in the margin. As Peter preaches his second sermon, I'll write Peter's second sermon, or I'll write chapter 10 or so. The gospel is open to the Gentiles. And I write so that I can go back, and I underline. So I can go back and read the book of Acts in probably 20 minutes. I can read probably 20 minutes just reading my underlined parts and just reading the notes I wrote on the side, not reading the whole book, right? So I can get the gist of it. So that's how I do it. Because don't your teachers always tell you when you're at school, if you write it down, it'll help you memorize it, right? So I like his suggestion here. Whether you follow it or not is up to you. In 1647, a pastor named Joseph Carl said this about scripture meditation. So you may look lightly upon a scripture and see nothing. Meditate often upon that scripture, and there you shall see a light like the light of the sun. So we can just read a scripture and not get anything. Okay, I need to read my do my scripture reading today. I'm supposed to do Psalm 117, and I'm supposed to do Matthew. Probably by the time you get to Psalms, you're probably in Acts or John or whatever. I need to read John chapter 5 and 6, and then I need to read probably 1 Chronicles. All right, you can do that, and you should. I just told you, stay on a plan. But if you're not doing that meditatively, you're just checking off a checklist. So, you know, they have these, I don't have my phone with me. They have these things you can put on your phone that you can like check off when you finish this book, and that'll help you go through the Bible. You can set a time limit on it. So it'll tell you, okay, you want to go through the Bible in a year? Here's what you got to do today. Here's what you got to do tomorrow. You want to go through the Bible in a year and a half? Here's what you got to read today. And you can check it off, and people will post that on Facebook. Hey, I'm checked it out, and that's fine. But if you don't do that and also meditate on the scripture and thinking about the scripture, then your reading is just rote reading. It'll be good. It's better than watching, you know, the television, but you're not getting everything you should get out of it, and you're going to be, again, stunted growth. Let's look at the next one. I'm sorry. I went to that one pretty good. Study the scriptures, right? Author Joel Beek wrote this: do not expect to grow in it if you spend little time alone with God and do not take His word seriously. So if you don't spend time with God and His word and take His word seriously, don't expect to grow, is what Joel Beek said. Studying, we should take time to study. I'm sorry, I quoted that verse out of context. We should take time to study God's word, comparing scripture with scripture. You can use a concordance, you can use a study Bible or whatever. What I'm doing now in the book of Acts, especially Stephen's sermon. Stephen's sermon takes a whole chapter, man. Stephen laid it on him, didn't he? That's why they stoned him. He laid it on him good. So if the pastor does a good job today, and he does really good and he convicts us really bad of our sins, we should probably stone him, I guess, right? If it's that serious. I mean, that's what they did to Stephen. I mean, is pastor better than Stephen? He can go through the same stuff. Okay, and he can't run away. It's not like he can run away from us. So anyway, no, but what did I say that about? I just can't even remember now. I'm going through the book of Acts, right? And what I'm doing is in the margins, I'm also writing, like Stephen's sermon is filled with Old Testament scripture. So I'm writing down every time he quotes the Old Testament, I'm writing down the references or whatever. And that's kind of part of what I do. And that's part of my study process. We should take the time to study God's word. Now, what does that mean? Meditating. What's the difference between memorizing, meditating, and studying? Well, I'll say this about studying. Studying is when you dig deep. Studying is when you go to other sources. You can have a concordance. You can have a study Bible. You can have a really, really, really good Bible like this one. I think this is a really good Bible because I've compared this to my Trinity TBS Westminster Study Bible, which has the most references of any study Bible on the market. And that's the one I use a lot. And I use it for Sunday school a lot. I've compared that Bible with this one. And I think I like this one better because that one has so many references. I've looked up references. I'm like, that barely maybe makes a connection. Maybe it doesn't make a connection. But this Bible here, this Humble Lamb I've got, this is real good. I mean, it's got scriptures. It's got scriptures at the bottom for everything, every time that something is quoted or whatever. Anyway, so I don't care how you do it. That doesn't matter. It's just that you do it, that you're studying, right? Choose certain subjects to study. Maybe you choose a certain subject to study. Maybe you study a book of the Bible. Maybe you study a certain chapter. I want to study Isaiah 53. Wow, what a chapter you could do there, studying Isaiah 53. But anyway, where was I going with this? Oh, here's where I was going. Don't expect the pastor or the Sunday school teacher, don't expect us to be the people who help you study the word. That's not what the pastor's job is up here. My job a little bit more maybe because Sunday school is way different than preaching. But still, don't depend on anyone else. This is a you situation, a you, Y-O-U. This is a you situation that you have to study the Bible. Now, you did it when you were in school, you studied, or as some people sitting here didn't, right? I'm not going to name any names. I'm not throwing any of my kids under the bus. But anyway, I got no one else to blame. but myself for the apple falling not far from the tree, because I didn't really study when I was in school. I didn't crack a book, homework, and never did that. Then when I got to college, I failed my first semester. I failed out, and I'm like, oh, you got to study? Oh, that's weird. Anyway, and then I realized it, so I started studying. But anyway, we have to study God's Word. I didn't study in college, and I got put on scholastic probation after my first semester there. And that's when I realized, oh, you got to study. I get it now. And then so, but here, guys, it's more important than what we learn at school. Learning from the Bible is much more important. Choose something to study, a subject. Pastor preaches about something, and you're like, well, that's interesting. I want to look into that. Or study a book of the Bible, or study chapters in the Bible. As you're going through the Bible and you're reading, here's what I do. As I'm going through the Bible in my reading plan, I'm studying at the same time. That's why it takes me more than a year. That's why I started in Genesis and I'm only now in the book of Acts. I'm getting there, because if you take this whole Bible, the book of Acts, that's getting pretty far. Like I'm at 80% or something like that. But anyway, if I had that app, it could tell me what percentage I was at, but I don't have the app. But anyway, as I go through the Bible and I read, like right now I'm reading through the book of Acts and I'm making notes, like I told you, in the margins and stuff, my wide margin Bible, or if you have an interleafed Bible where every other leaf is blank, and there's plenty of Bibles that you can mark up and have plenty of room for you to do what you want to do, right? So as I'm going through, I'm also studying. I'm reading what, you know, this person has to say about this scripture, what that person has to say about that scripture. I'm comparing scripture with scripture. So that's why it takes me longer. I'm not just reading through the book of Acts. I could have done that in 45 minutes, maybe an hour. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to read my Bible through from Genesis to Revelation, but at the same time, I'm studying each book as I go. And so, but how you do it is how you do it. I don't care. You have to be studying. I know you think you're an adult now, and you are an adult. And I know you think that being an adult means you don't have to study anymore because that's what you had to do in school and you hated school like I did. I was in school for two reasons, sports and girls. That was it. If those two things weren't there, like if I went to an all-boys school where there wasn't athletics, I would have just probably dropped out, or I don't know what I would have done. But anyway, but no, it's not just for when you're in junior high and high school, or even if you go to college. Studying never ends if you're a Christian. I'm sorry. I know some of you don't like that, but guess what? I don't know about you, but there's a huge difference between studying something secular and studying the Word of God. It's just delightful. It's just the Spirit opens things up to you and you realize stuff that you've never seen before. Although if you've seen that chapter before many times, you never knew that was there or whatever. The Holy Spirit will open up stuff for you if you'll get in the Word and if you will study, right? The Holy Spirit is not going to reward laziness. I don't care if you're slain in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to reward laziness. I don't know what to tell you. That's a me thing. You can say, Brother Chris, I don't care if you agree with me or not. I'm going to say the statement. I'm going to stand behind it because that's what I believe. I don't believe the Holy Spirit will reward Christian laziness. I just don't see it happening. Sorry. That's my story. I'm sticking to it, right? But anyway, I could go on and on because I love to study. And I feel like I have a disadvantage to y'all. I feel like some of this that I'm hitting on studying so hard, and I understand that I have an advantage over y'all. Maybe some of y'all I don't. I think I have an advantage because I love studying. I love reading about stuff, whether it's World War I or whether it's, you know, whatever. I just really enjoy studying, always have. So I feel like I have a little bit of advantage. Maybe you didn't enjoy studying, so this is not as easy for you. I'm not trying to criticize you or hit you over the head with this. I am not. Not everybody enjoys studying. God bless me in that I do enjoy it. So I'm like, well, I get to do it, but I feel like it's not really work because I just enjoy it so much, right? And for some of y'all, reading and studying may be a little bit more work. I get that, and I'm not criticizing you. But are you at least trying? Are you trying to do these things? Take a chapter, take a book of the Bible, take a subject and study it through, all right? The last subject I studied was Christ's descent into hell. That got deep. Not going to go into it. Here we go. I've got the conclusion here. Are you ready? It says conclusion. That's how you know it's the conclusion. Joel Beek wrote this: do not expect to grow in holiness if you spend little time alone with God and you do not take His Word seriously. Don't expect to grow in holiness. And if you're a Christian this morning, and you're a Christian and you're saved, then you do love the Lord and you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, and you want to study more and you want to read and you want to memorize the Bible more than you do. Because if you're like me, and I'm here to say that most of us, if we're saved, we're not that different. We are different. God doesn't just zap us and make us all robots and we're all the same. We still have our same personalities. But most of us are the same in a lot of ways. Brother Skip, he's a Christian. I'm a Christian. I know he loves God. I know I love God. I know he wants to serve God. I know I want to serve God. I know he wants to live holy and not sin a single day of the week or the year. I want that same thing also. I know he loves God's Word and wishes he spent more time in God's Word. Am I right? I'm the same way. We're not that different. We really are not that different. If you're saved this morning, you love the Lord, you want to grow in holiness, you want to get closer to God, you want to glorify Him in your life and with your lip, and you want to read and study His Word more, and you want to live holy, and the way to do that is to read and study and memorize God's Word. The hymn writer said this. Y'all know this hymn. I love this hymn. We all love this hymn. What a great line he wrote. Who is the name of this hymn writer? Does anybody know? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. Doesn't that hit you? It hits me. I mean, maybe you never, ever wander away from the Lord, and I'm not judging you. I'm grateful for you for that. But I am more like the person who wrote this. That's why I identify with this line that he wrote. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. And if you're a Christian, you feel it. You definitely feel it. Prone to leave the one I love. You see, how could that be, Brother Chris? How can you leave someone that you love? That's because we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, but we still have that old nature also. We'll not be perfected until we get to heaven, right? We'll not be perfectly sinless until we get to heaven. It won't happen in this lifetime. Let's go to Colossians 3. I don't know that I'm meant to hit it that hard, but I do think memorizing, reading, studying, meditating. I think that's really important, guys. I really do. If you don't think that's important, I worry about you. I'm not judging you. I worry about you. I worry about your salvation. I'm not here to say I'm judging you, Brother Skip. If you haven't read your Bible, at least 3 hours this week, I'm judging you. And how can you call yourself a Christian? No, I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, if Brother Skip doesn't desire to read his word, to read his Bible 5 hours a week, then there's a problem. Not that if he doesn't read it 5 hours a week, if he doesn't even desire it. I'm not talking about the world. The world will steal your desire. It will steal it big time. The flesh will steal your desire. The devil will steal your desire. But still, you have that desire, and you want to fight the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's one of the ways you know you're saved. Let's go to Colossians 3 and verse 16. We know this verse by heart. Let me see here. So I was going to read Philippians 3:16, but when I read it just now, I'm like, how does that work with what we're doing? Then I'm like, okay, Colossians, here we go. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We're to teach one another. We're to admonish one another. How? Through God's word. In psalms, that's God's word. Hymns, if your hymns are rooted in God's word, which ours are. Not praise choruses. Most praise choruses are not rooted in God's word. Most praise choruses are love songs to Jesus. I love Jesus too, but I'm not going to take a secular love song and change the words around so it comes to me loving Jesus, right? I'm not going to sing a song to the devil let's think of something here. I'm not going to sing a song to the devil in the tune of "My boyfriend's back and you're going to be in trouble." Y'all remember that one? I'm not going to sing "Jesus is back, devil, and you're going to be in trouble." I don't do that. I'm sorry. I don't do that. I'm sorry. It just seems stupid and blasphemous, and I'm not going to do that. You say, Brother Chris, what do you have against modern stuff? What do you have against praise choruses? that they're not rooted and grounded in the Word. That's what I have against it. That's why we love our hymns. They're rooted and grounded in God's Word. And in many hymns that we sing, you will see them referencing or quoting the Bible. I'd rather read a psalm that's taken from the Bible, or the message is taken from the Bible, or words are quoted from the Bible. I'd rather read that than a 7-Eleven praise chorus where you're singing a love song to Jesus. I'm singing my love song to Jesus. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, folks. Does it disgust me? Yes, but that's not the thing. The thing is, I'm worried that that's just blasphemous. You don't sing love songs to Jesus. Jesus is he's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the creator and sustainer of the universe. The only thing you sing to Jesus is that I'm not worthy. That's what you sing. I'm not worthy. I don't know why you should even listen to me in prayer now. It's only through your blood, shed blood. You're praying to God, not to Jesus. It's only through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you're able to even hear me now and able to hear my prayers. That's the attitude that we'll get to that in a minute. I'm sorry. I got one more quote by Joel Beek and we'll move on. We'll move on. Was that the bad bell? The good bell? How much time, brother? 2 minutes. All right. We're going to just have to close here, I think. 2 minutes. Because y'all know how that works. He says 2 minutes, and I've already used up 30 seconds of that. Here we go. Joel Beek said this: when plagued with a heart prone to be tempted away from holiness, let Scripture teach you how to live a holy life in an unholy world. I'll say that again. Let Scripture teach you how to live a holy life in an unholy world. Folks, when we step out of the front door, we're living in an unholy world. You say, well, Brother Chris, I go from the church right to my house. I don't mix and mingle with the world. I'm sorry, the world is still in your house, right? If you have a television or a radio or magazines or whatever, worldly stuff, it's still there. I'll finish the quote. Let Scripture be your compass to guide you in cultivating holiness, in making life's decisions, and encountering the high waves of personal affliction. Now, what did he say is going to cultivate holiness? What did he say is going to help us make decisions in life? I tried what's that method in the Old Testament? The fleece. I tried putting out a fleece. Yeah, it didn't work, right? But Joel Beek said, oh, that's not putting out a fleece. I tried to Lord, show me which college you want me to go to. Speak to me, Lord, or give me a vision or a sign. He didn't say that. What helps you make life's decisions? The Scriptures. I'm sorry, it's much more boring than getting a vision. I know getting a vision is cool, man, but it's the Scriptures that helps you make decisions in life. And the last thing, encountering the high waves of personal affliction. What'll get you through life when you encounter personal affliction? The book of Psalms is full of this because David encountered a lot of persecution and he sings about it and he tells about it in the Psalms. And a lot of it is, if you'll read the Psalms and David's Psalms where he's just saying, Lord, mine enemies have reproached me. Mine enemies have come out against me. Almost always in that very same song, he'll end up praising the Lord who is his deliverer and who will bring him salvation from his enemies, right? So anyway, the Psalms are good to read on that last part if you're suffering affliction by the world or whatever. I'm sorry, I'm closing my Bible. That means I'm done. The way I kind of look at it also, y'all know the phrase rage bait? That's popular now, rage bait. Y'all know that? Rage bait? Anyway, don't let someone make you mad. They rage baited you, right? I've got a new quote, a thing I'm trying to live by. Don't let life or the world, the flesh, and the devil, don't let them rage bait you. Right? And so sometimes I look at afflictions that are going on in my life and I think, Lord, I'm not going to get mad at this person or that person for saying or doing something. Lord, I know that nothing happens to me that you don't want it to happen to. So what are you trying to show me here? What are you trying to teach me? What do I need to learn here? And I don't know about you, but in my case, it's usually more humility. That's what I need to learn. And so a lot of times when the Lord sends afflictions my way, I'm like, at first, I want to blame the person or get mad at this circumstance or that circumstance or whatever. But in the end, I realize, Lord, I know this is from you. And I know nothing happens to a Christian that you don't approve of. So there must be something here that you're trying to teach me. So, Lord, help me to learn a lesson from this. Not to blame the person or the circumstance or situation, but help me to learn what you would have me to learn. I'm sorry. I went way over time. Let's stand and be dismissed. That 2 minutes did not last long. Guys, I appreciate y'all's time and attention. It's nothing you haven't heard a million times already, but it's something that we need to practice. You say, Brother Chris, we've heard this a million times already, just like you said. Yeah? How are you doing? Are you putting it into practice? Are you following? Are you meditating? Do you sit? Sometimes I'll sit there with the Bible open. I'm sorry, I'm going over. And I just close my eyes and I'm not going to go to sleep, although I got to be careful. Sometimes I'll just close my eyes and I'll think about a verse. And it'll make me think about other things, right? It'll just bring stuff to my mind. I'm not doing the Om. That's Thursday nights at 6:30 if you want to join me. We're live on Facebook. Anyway, it's not that I'm doing the Om. It's just I read a scripture. And I just want to think about it with my eyes closed to kind of think about that. And the Holy Spirit will sometimes lead me to a greater understanding. It's not something magical because you have to work at it, folks. It's your work and the Holy Spirit's work together that you can gain holiness. Brother Mike, would you dismiss us in prayer and pray for the service to follow, please?